Blog Talk Radio.
Friday afternoon. This is Talking, in essence, Talking Sports Plus radio show entitled Balling with the Doc. I am the Doc. My name is Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, and I am the host of this show. Now, the reason you may ask in your mind why you need a show entitled Balling with the Doc, we want to focus on hot button topics or the hottest topics that occurred in the world of sports during this week. So we try to use expert analysis, insightful thoughts, as well as wisdom. We share some thoughts in regards to some topics, expertise. In regards. Our call-in number is 347-857-4192. You know, it's good to always get an opportunity to start the week off, I mean, end the week with some real positive things. But at this time, you know, things do occur in the world of sports that we have to take a minute and just go a moment of silence and prayer to families and communities. A young man in Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Wade Sims, a basketball player with Louisiana State University, which is LSU, was killed this morning. And he was shot to death this morning. And it's a sad occasion, sad time, you know, but our prayers is to the family and to the LSU community, because we have lost another life, not lost another young man to violence in our community, you know. And we have to take an opportunity to just offer our prayers and a heartfelt condolence to that family as well as that community, especially the university, all his friends and all his teammates. So we want to do that by taking about a small moment to offer a moment of silence for Wade Sims, a basketball player that was killed this morning at Louisiana State University. All right, let's get back to our hottest topics for this week, starting with first of all, giving you some information. Now, if you want to call in and want to, in actuality, share your expertise, the call in number is, you're looking on Facebook, is over my shoulder, which is 347-857-4192. The web link, if you want to just listen to the show, is www.blogtalkradio.com/LB Smith Production. If you want to email the show, you can go to talkingsportsplus@gmail.com, or you can tweet the show if you feel like you want to. You can tweet at Ballin, B-A-L-L-I-N dot B-O-C. Then you can also at Talking Sports Plus with the number one. And also, we're being aired as some of the individuals are joining me on Facebook right now. We're being aired on Facebook, which is facebook.com/DRLD Alberto Smith. And that's DRLDEALBERTO Smith. And you can join us that way on Facebook, on Instagram. You can join us on Instagram as well with Lorenza D. Smith, 15, or you can go to Coach Dr. Lorenza D. Smith, 15. So you got many ways of communicating. Also, being able to hear this show. We are anchors on Anchor Podcast, so we're just streaming at you all kind of ways. Now, to get this show started, we want to look at the show topic for today, our title for today. The title for our show today is the NCAA new rule on redshirting is changing the face of college football. Changing the face. And if you notice, there are some things that occurred that become hot topics this week, hot button topics, which was dealing with Clemson University. Their quarterback, Kelly Bryant, has been a starting quarterback. He has a record 16-2, decided to transfer on Tuesday because he's using this red shirt rule. Some of you say, what is the red shirt rule? It was implemented this summer that a player could play up to four games. And after four games, he has a right to red shirt in the process transfer to another school if he wants to. We had most of the talk during the preseason dealing with the University of Alabama with Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa. We had to talk about whether Jalen was going to transfer because everybody felt like Tua was a better quarterback and he needed to be on the field. So Jalen made a statement early in the summer at one practice about he didn't feel like they was communicating with him. And there was a lot of hoo-ha, a lot of the individuals on Twitter was going crazy associated with the University of Alabama. If not, they was fans or just individuals that wanted to talk and create a problem. They was talking heads at the time, saying that Jalen was wrong. He just needs to leave, get on out of there, bench him, and don't sense a word about it because he shouldn't voice his opinion. So that was settled pretty much. Nick Saban settled that by saying, well, Jalen, you're going to play. But, you know, I have a thought about that, and I want to share my thought about that is that Jalen realized he graduated in December. And once he graduated, he can do whatever he wants to do. Some people thought if he just redshirt or just stop playing now using the four games that he'll have an additional year. But let's be realistic. How successful you can be, any player I know, as Jalen has been for the last 2 years for the University of Alabama. His record is 26-2 as a starter. Took him to two national championship games, lost one, and he lost to an outstanding team. He lost to Clemson, led by Deshaun Watson. And the next year, it's not like it wasn't a fight. Alabama game, and Jalen was the leader of that because he scored that last touchdown to kind of put the game into the right perspective. Matter of fact, put Alabama ahead with less than 2 minutes to go or less than 3 minutes to go, more like 3 minutes. And eventually, Clemson drove down the field and scored with the last 5 seconds. So he took him close to the promised land. Last year, he didn't play well. He was pulled from the game for Tua. They was playing Georgia, and Alabama came back after being 13-0 against Georgia. And I have my theory about that. So, you know, everybody said, well, you know, Tua, better quarterback. What should you do? Jalen, you should leave. Jalen chose at this point to stay. And as I said, I feel like the reason why, and we're going to get to Kelly Bryant, the reason he's staying, you're talking about the redshirt rule, is because you can't get the best professional training, meaning getting yourself to the next level, unless you're at the University of Alabama or some other Power Five school. So why go anywhere where you're not going to be able to go to any other Power Five school, even though everybody thinks he would be the hottest free agent? And that's what the redshirt really is. It's all about free agents. So those individuals who have opportunity to go to another school and play their remaining eligibility out. But you can't. You get the best training. You get the best training table. You get the best of all of your own national television if you can just show what you need to do and be successful. Now, let's get to Kelly Bryant from Clemson. At the beginning of this discussion, we was talking about Jalen Hurts and Tua and how they was talking about what Jalen should do. But if I also stated in our earlier show that there was several other schools that was dealing with the situation the same way, and that was Clemson. You know, Clemson had Kelly Bryant, who's a rising senior, had started 18 games or so. He was their leader last year. He lost to Alabama. He led Clemson in the battle against Alabama in the playoffs and the semifinals, and he was coming back. Dabo Swinney, the coach, decided to take this approach, however you want to call it. He decided to just name Kelly Bryant the quarterback. Now, Kelly Bryant came out after he made a statement to the Green Bay News that he was sort of like misled. He believed that, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, he believed that he was told that he would be quarterback, it wouldn't be a problem, there wouldn't be no major changes. And knowing this my senior year, then all of a sudden they named Trevor Lawrence, and he's the other kid, the bright freshman, he wasn't accepting that. He was not willing to sit on the bench. A lot of people have criticized him for what he said. A lot of people criticized him for doing what he did. But when you offer this four-game redshirt rule, you allow those players to play up to four games. But his situation is different. They started comparing it to Jalen because it was the hottest topic also about redshirt and transfer. And they was comparing. But you can't compare Kelly Bryant. Kelly Bryant is a senior. Already graduated, and he was playing his last year of eligibility, 5-4. And if he sit on the bench, he can't make it happen. So he has decided to transfer. Now he can transfer as a graduate student and play at a school coming up this fall without having to sit out. But you know, transfer also applies to undergraduates, but you have to sit out unless you get a waiver. So Kelly Bryant has a whole different situation. I don't want anybody to kind of down him and say this, but this is my opinion, that he shouldn't actually, you know, speak his mind. And we got to understand young people are able to speak their own mind. Please give them that opportunity. We want them to be able to answer a question with an open-ended answer instead of yes or no. We do want them to do that. We want them because we're teaching our young people to be productive in society, and they got to be able to respond that way. So that's the situation. And the pros and cons of this, everybody was excited about that, and that's the next topic we got going on. The pros and cons of the college new redshirt rule is that you'll have a situation like Kelly Bryant. But Kelly Bryant is not the only player that are transferring in the middle of the year, I mean, after the four-game rule. There are several others on the call last summer, a couple universities, and probably one or two particular where they have a large number either transferred or threaten to transfer. We have in that red shirt rule, I want you to understand, and before I move any further, the call in number is 347-857-4192. Call in, offer me your expertise in regards to that. When you call in, dial one. You can listen to the show by calling in, but if you want to share your thoughts and your expertise, press one, and then I identify you with the last four digits of your cell number, and then ask you to identify yourself and your location. Then let us know how you feel about the redshirt rule. I have several people on Facebook, and I can always mention those individuals because to take time to join me is very important. Also, we have individuals on Instagram. We have Shanita Arrington Mitchell. Thank you, Shanita. Deborah White. Thank you. Tara Jones. Thank you, Tara. And Cassie M. Hunt. Yes, thank you for joining us. Then over on Instagram, we have, as you know, Instagram have a handle, and they don't always be the person name. So we'll just go by whatever handle that show up on my stream. It's always fabulous. 90 is joining us, and I'm way back at her, and that's why I'm reaching across the stream to way back at that individual. Appreciate you for joining. All of you, we got others that slowly joining in. We'll mention them as we move forward with the show. So the red shirt rule, the pros and cons is that we'll be dealing with a situation with Kelly Bryant. One of the negative things about him being transferred, truly, that they was counting on two quarterbacks. Now they're down to one quarterback. And both of those quarterbacks have different skill sets. And those skill sets will come into play later on in the season. That third-string player that's backing those two up, if that player was strong enough to create a problem in between those two, push those two, they would have been in. So that's why they're called third-string. Yeah, you try to get them ready, but there's a skill set that's not there that Kelly Bryant and Trevor Lawrence bring to you. Now, you stuck with that one quarterback as a starter, and a young freshman, haven't seen a lot of things that have been going on. Clemson or not, it is going to be a different day. Now, coming in off the bench, throwing a couple touchdowns, caught somebody else and started the game, and had a little success, that's good. But now everybody can plan for you now. And when they plan for you, defensive coordinators are licking their chops. Inexperienced, running any different defense, and I don't care how gifted everybody say he is, if you don't have that experience playing the game, it catches up with you. So then besides that, physically, this young man does not have the physique to be taking the shots that he'll get, even from his own. For example, you said Clemson has four possibly first-round draft choices. Every one of those defensive linemen over from one tackle to the other, to bookend, two down tackle, is over 300 pounds, if not close to it. Those players land on you, get shots on you when you only weigh about 175 pounds, 6'4". It's going to be tough. You know, I have a glimpse of something a lot of you probably not aware. Last year, I watched Florida State. Francois went down. They brought in Blackman. Blackman was frail, and Blackman took a lot of shots. Everybody said, well, their offensive line is not the same as Florida State. True enough. But we're going to, as one of those defensive coordinators, which I was a defensive coordinator in high school as well as in other places, I'm going to have some elaborate schemes to get after him because I want to put him on the ground a lot. And that way, that throws it off. His body may not be able to take that. So we'll see how that's going to turn out. I think it is a blow to Clemson. Everybody don't think it is. They think they're better now. I just think they're not. They're better when they have both of those quarterbacks, meaning Kelly Bryant and Trevor Lawrence, so they can compete with those teams at the top up there. So we'll look forward to see how that comes out. Now, the con was that Kelly Bryant transferred. The pros is that those players have an opportunity to go to another school where they're not playing there. Now, everybody can take this attitude. A lot of the talking heads and the pundits always said that, well, you take your ball and go home. Okay, I've been told I can do this. And I go there today, and if it's not working, I find another school. So it's like a free agent. It's like an NFL. Find the school that I fit. Dan has some success stories, and you know, also has some stories that what? You have several players, even Seattle quarterback. And, you know, he left Wisconsin. You know, well, he left the school over in the East and went to Wisconsin, had a lot of success. So, you know, there are several players. I mean, Zaire from Notre Dame left and went down to Florida, and he didn't have any success. We got Preacher Man joining us. Thank you, Michael Clemens, one of the ball players from high school when I coached high school basketball and football in a small area in South Alabama. So the cons is that those players have an opportunity. The con is that it hurts your team when a player leaves after you planning on that. But if another situation be a pro for that kid, if he get a chance to find somewhere where he fits, he's going to have to sit out, and that's the case with Kelly Bryant. So those are the pros and cons of college, the college new redshirt rule. call in and share your thoughts, 347-857-4192, or you can just hit me on the Facebook, DM me and let me know your thoughts on that, and I'll make sure I share your thoughts, or you can hit me on Instagram Live, and you can do the same. So, again, we're very excited to bring this. This is a Talking Sports Plus radio show, Balling with the Doc. We'll come every Friday at 4 o'clock Central Standard Time, 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. All right, another topic we want to look at is Auburn University is another school that dealt with several individuals who decided to redshirt and transfer, as well as it was up to 5 to 6 and almost 8 players. Two of them, which was hot news, I would say the hottest topic of the week was, decided that we were going to stay. We had Cam Martin decided he was running back for Auburn. He was going to transfer it in. After talking to the coaches, he changed his mind. So that means he's going to get more playing time and get him to fit in. So we have Sal Cannonella. He called a touchdown in that first game in Washington. And Auburn played Washington over the Mercedes Stadium over there. And he was going to transfer. But the coach talked and asked him, won't you just give us another chance? So coaches got to continue to recruit and recruit over and over again with these players with this new rule. So in the instance, that may be a flaw in it, but it's also required the coach to continue to recruit their players while they're still on campus. Some of the other players that are leaving Auburn University and accepting that redshirt status so they'll have that year and they'll leave the year. You have Nate Craig Myers from out of South Florida, running a 4- to 5-star player back when he came out 2 years ago. And he really, really didn't feel like he was getting enough balls, you know, for 2 years and hadn't really thrown the ball. So he decided to transfer and use the redshirt rule as well. We have his brother, Jay Vaughn Myers, who's at Auburn as well. He has decided to transfer as well and use the redshirt rule. Jalen Harris, tight end that made a catch in the game recently, I noticed, decided to redshirt and transfer as well. John Buzar, he decided to do the same thing. Aiden Marshall decided to transfer to UCal. That's 5 players from your roster. Those are scholarship players. And you have 2 other players that I mentioned, Cam as well as Sal, decided they were going to transfer on Tuesday but changed their mind after they talked to the coach. So that's hitting Auburn University pretty hard. That's 7 players that is thinking about transfer, actually 5 of them did transfer. So the redshirt rule, the free agent is here, and we're going to have to deal with it. A lot of people say we need to make adjustments. I really think it's good. A player have an opportunity, if it's not working out there, he can leave. And all these pundits and talking and stuff about he need to stay there and fight for a job. We was taught to do that. The young people don't see it the same way. You have to understand that. They don't see they have to fight for it. They was sold a bed of goods, saying that you're going to come here, you'll be All-American, you'll get to the pros, and it don't work out, might be part of their problem or part of the school problem where they're not developing players and the player not developing at the pace. So he has to decide to make a decision. So the decision for most of them is to leave. So keep an eye on this. This is the first year, and everybody expected, all the coaches was expecting this to happen. They wanted that 4 game and the red shirt rule, but it's hitting some teams a lot harder than others. We also want to look at the 2 quarterback system at the major college level. You see what's going on. Now you have the University of Alabama, you have Tua and Jalen, the 2 quarterback system. These players are deciding to go, and when they come and coaches say, we need to play these people now, and we got to share time. If you're willing to share time, and you can be successful as well as that other individual who's there competing against you. You had it at Clemson, so it's going to be a challenge. Georgia have a situation. Jake Fromm stepped up last year after taking Eason place as the quarterback. Jake Fromm, but he has Justin Fields, number 1 player in the country, that's there sitting on the hill. They're trying to let him play. Now, free agent will come and play with him next year because just remember, Jake Fromm is a sophomore, Justin Fields is a freshman. Jake Fromm will be your quarterback. That means quarterback next year. Justin Fields feel like he can play. Have the same situation next year. So the 2 quarterback system can work. It'll work this year for Georgia, But next year they're going to run into the same situation with the new redshirt rule. They will deal with it next year. That you know, you heard it from me. They will deal with it next year. Justin will not sit behind him when he's been told by his camp and everybody around him that he should be playing. Even though he might not be, both of those players have different skill sets. So we're going to look and keep an eye. We're talking about it on Balling with the Doc. We want you to be a part of it as well. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. All right, another topic that we'll kind of move forth on, and, you know, we have an hour show, and we like to talk about it as much as we can. Stanford beating Oregon last weekend. It was an outstanding game. This is probably the first time I stayed up that late to kind of watch on Saturday night because they play so late in out on the Pacific Coast because they're 2 hours different from Central Standard Time, 3 hours from Eastern Standard Time. So they was playing late, and Oregon was really dominating the game. Matter of fact, they was up like 21-7. It may have got up to 31-7. And it just seemed like the wheels fell off because they was down there about to score. Even like I said, it might have been 21. They was about to score, and the running back dove, but he did not cross inside of the pylon. The pylon is out. He hit the pylon. They had the ruling on the field after review, and it was placed on the 1 yard line. First play, you had a fumble. You know, the snap was fumbled. And they on the half-yard line. The next play, snapped over the quarterback head. Stanford picks it up. The running back goes about 90-some yards in the game. They get 14. And from that, the wheels just fell off the wagon for Oregon. And Stanford won that game 38-31. So it was a slugfest. So it was an outstanding game. Justin Herbert did an outstanding job. But you also had the Stanford quarterback making headway, moving to a – put Stanford in a position – hopefully to win that conference and move into the playoff. But it was a big challenge this weekend. Stanford has Notre Dame. They're going to Notre Dame. Notre Dame is another school that is having some success right now. We'll kind of see how there's going to be a barn burner that, this weekend in Notre Dame. So we look to see that, and we'll talk about it on our Wednesday show as well as our Friday show. We also want to look at the Heisman front runner. It's an early Heisman front runners. At this point, it's sort of like a switch in. And last week, we have at number one, we have Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State. He's 87-115 in passing, 1,194 yards, 16 touchdowns, one interception, quarterback rating of 207.0. Second, you have Tua Tagovailoa. Four games, 58-80, because he didn't even play the whole game. And he has, in essence, over 1,003 yards, 1,037 yards. He has 12 touchdowns, no interception, and his quarterback rating is 230.5. In third, we have Trace McSorley. In third in the Heisman, so far running, early front runner. Then we have Will Greer, who's fourth, and he's 71-95, 1,117 yards, 14 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and a 215 quarterback rating. And in fifth place, you have Kyler Murray with Oklahoma. And I should have mentioned each one of those teams, and I'll go back and make sure. Kyler Murray over there with Oklahoma. You have Dwayne Haskins with Ohio State. You have Tua with University of Alabama. You have Trace McSorley, Penn State University. Will Greer you have at West Virginia. So that's the early front runners for the Heisman. Call in. If you think somebody should be added to this list, 347-857-4192. On Facebook, type it in. Let us know who you think should be added to this list. Give me your list. We're looking forward to talking. Instagram, the same thing. Comment on it. Let us know exactly how you feel. All right, we're going to move forward to the coaches at 2018 college football. 10 coaches on the hot seat. I'm only going to go through 4 of them because some of them kind of had some play. This was done in first of the August the 26th. This list came out, but now these coaches that was on that part of the 10 are still on there. and they're going soaring high to the top of the list. They probably won't have a job after next year. You have Paul Johnson at Georgia Tech. You know, the over in Ottawa, is 6 wins for him this year, and they hadn't had a good season starting off. So Paul Johnson out of Georgia Tech. You also have Lovett Smith out of Illinois. His team is expected to win the 4.5, so that's a positive 5 or just 4, and he's on the hot seat. This is his second or third year. Larry Fedor, who played last night on TV, that was North Carolina versus Miami. Miami won the game 47-10, and they had like 4 or 5, three fumbles for a touchdown, an interception. The turnover chain came out, and it was rallying. It was rallying. They had 6 turnovers, and the chain was on fire last night. North Carolina's Larry Fedor, and they have 5.5 wins, so they're on the route not to get that. Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech, he's 6 wins projected, and he may not be able to make it. So those are the 4 coaches that's on the hot seat. There's 10, but those other coaches have done something to kind of remove themselves off the hot seat. So we're going to see how that can turn out and see how things go. The high school storyline that we're going to talk about, some Thursday night game results in the state of Alabama, but we're also going to talk about some on our Wednesday show with those schools out of Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, Tennessee, Mississippi. We're all over the southeastern part of the United States. We had our Thursday night games results. You had Jefferson Davis High School playing Sidney Lanier. Jefferson Davis 26, Sidney Lanier 21. Also down in South Alabama, you had Biger 21, Murphy 7. Biger is 5-0. Jeff Davis won their first game last night. They're 1-4. Lanier is 3-2. Some key marquee games, a matchup for tonight, and still dealing with week 6 of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. You got 7A Robert E. Lee High School out of Montgomery taking on 6A Carver High School out of Montgomery tonight, 7 o'clock, and that should be a barn burner because Robert E. Lee is 4-1 and Carver is 5-0. So that was going to be key marquee matchup, even though they're not in the same class, but it's a city thing, so it's going to be a challenge. Down in South Alabama, you have T.R. Miller at Hillcrest. Hillcrest lost that first game to Greenville High School, but since then they've been rolling, so they are 4-1, and T.R. Miller is 5-0. So you're going to see an outstanding game tonight. Then the other marquee matchup is Wee Tonker at Prattville. Prattville was a 3-0 rolling. They end up really getting blessed by Central Phoenix City. Tonight they're taking on Wee Tonker, who's ranked number 1 in 6A class, and they're undefeated at 5-0. So we look forward to see how this thing happened tonight. But we're going to report on Wednesday some of these results that happened over the weekend. All right, we're going to look at some historical black college and university storylines. But we want you to be a part in of this situation. Give us a call. Be a part of Ballin' with the Doc talk show, 347-857-4192. Hit me up. Email me, talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. Tweet me at @BallinDoc or at Lorenza B. Smith, at Talking Sports Plus with the number 1. Send us some thoughts about it. Tell us how you feel. You know, we're at the half point of this show, the midpoint of this show, and we want you to share your thoughts on it. We want you to talk. We want you to call in and let us know exactly what's going on. You know, I can look at my board and kind of see those individuals that's online. We just want you to share your thoughts. All you have to do is press 1, and I identify the last 4 digits of your cell, telephone number, and ask you to tell us who you are and your location. Let's also take a step into, as the storyline is, the historical black college and university. Just looking at some of the things that have occurred this week. We had on last night, you had a battle up in the MEAC, the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, between North Carolina A&T, who beat South Carolina State. The score was 31-16. Lamar Raynard, 3 for 253 yards and 3 touchdowns. Improved that record 4-1. Now, you remember now, North Carolina A&T was rolling at 15-0. That's what their record was until they lost last weekend. And so they started a new streak, winning streak going on. But they're leading that conference over there, so we applaud North Carolina A&T for the success they're having. They are the black college, or we call it historically black college and university national champion from last year, 2017. We're also in the MEAC. We'll have Florida A&M University 2-1 versus North Carolina A&T. I'm sorry, North Carolina Central University. That's 1-2. They'll be kicking off tomorrow at 3 o'clock Central Standard Time. In the SWAC, we have Alcorn, who's 3-1, at Southern, who's 2-2. Southern played Alabama A&M last weekend down in Mobile, and Southern had a lead. Let me kind of paint the picture. The score was 7-0. Then Alabama A&M came and scored 3 times. It was 21-7 by half. But in the second half, Southern rolled up to 29 points, and it was 29-21. A&M scored late in the game and went for two and missed the two, so the game ended up 29-27 down in Mobile. So A&M is making a turnaround. Coach Maynard is making a big emphasis on winning up at Alabama A&M, so they played an awesome game last weekend. So I applaud. I got a report from several people who were there. So we're looking for some positive things for this Magic City Classic that's coming up. Thank you, Ronique Anderson. For not saying that correctly, please let me know. I always work toward making sure we said his name right, because you're taking time to join. We want you to be recognized. Also, we'll, Alcorn was successful. They're leading the East Division of the SWAC Conference. They 2-1 in the conference. Then you have Jackson State 1-1, and you have Alabama A&M 1-2, and you have Alabama State also 1-2. And Mississippi Valley is last. It's 5 teams in the East Division of the Southwest Athletic Conference. You also will have Prairie View. These are key matchup: Prairie View versus Grambling, which is a Western Conference game. And this will decide who will move forward. Prairie View is 2-3. Prairie View played real well. They played Rice to the highest level. They lost to Rice in overtime, Rice University out of Texas. Then they came over and beat North Carolina Central in the MEAC and the SWAC Challenge. So they were, they're positive. They're moving forward. So we see some great things out of Prairie View A&M. They're 2-3 versus Grambling. They're 1-2. Their win was, they beat Alabama State last weekend. They shut Alabama State out. The score was 24-11 when they were going into the fourth quarter and to hold on and win that game. Not hold on, but continue to win. It was 24-31-0. So the last score came in was 31-0. Grambling is 1-0 in the conference, and you have Southern that's 2-1 in the conference. You have Alabama A&M, who played Southern down in Mobile in the Gulf Coast Classic this past weekend. They'll be playing Jackson State. As I stated, that's his second place and third place team in the Eastern Division of the SWAC. Alabama A&M is 1-2, and Jackson State is 1-1. So we'll kind of see how this is going to turn out. We look forward to seeing how the conference began to develop more and more. That's the SWAC. In the CIAA and SIAC, the marquee game that was mentioned, there may be others, but we have Tuskegee University versus Lane College over there in Tuskegee. This will be their second game at home. That's 1 o'clock Central Standard Time over there at Tuskegee. You clean Abbott Stadium. We'll join them over in Tuskegee. Under that shed, they be balling and having a great time over there at Tuskegee. So go join them as they play Lane College. And basically, the leader of that conference, that's Morehouse, is up at the top, Tuskegee right behind them. So we look for some great things to kind of occur with that conference. Now, some topics that we really wanted to talk about, and we shared it on our Wednesday night show. It was about the Texas school superintendent made a statement in regards to Deshaun Watson, where he just distinctly said that when it comes to precise decision-making, you can't count on a black quarterback to do that. Tell me your thoughts. What you think about that? Is that that label, that stereotype that goes along with black quarterback? I want to know. 347-857-4192. That's a hot topic, and we want you to share your thoughts on it. So exactly how you feel is important to us. Now, when you call in, and if you're on the line now, which I see several now, all you do is press 1, and I will identify you the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, and then ask you to come on and share your thoughts about black quarterbacks, whether they can think under pressure, whether they can do like they're using this new term, progression, some quarterbacks, or they are not accurate in their throw down the field. This is just a gift, but this has been going on for, I'll tell you, 40-some years. I can remember in 1975-76, you had Joe 747 Adams, Tennessee State, and the same way he was told when he was going to the next level. He wouldn't stand in the parking. He wouldn't go through his progression. He would run, but he was the epitome of a dual-threat quarterback. So he did have a chance to go and play in the Canadian Football League. So it's 43 years later, and we still talk about the same thing. But we got people stepping forth now. That former Texas school superintendent was fired or resigned, was forced to resign after he made that statement. He came on and he apologized to the school district, the students, to everybody that in the state of Texas except Deshaun Watson. And that's just amazing. You know, that means that's the way you feel. It came out of you. On your keyboard, be careful what you put on the keyboard. If you put it on the keyboard, it'll stay with you. It doesn't go anywhere. So I challenge that thought, and we have a several additional individuals that's joining us on Facebook, on Instagram, and I'm looking at, and I'm going to try to call it Miss Kush Sanders, and she's joining us. I'm going to wave back at her. She asked me how I'm doing. I'm doing fine. Appreciate you for joining us. You know, we're really excited about having this opportunity to come at 4 o'clock Central Standard Time, balling with the Doc on Friday afternoon, right before the weekend gets started. And one other topic, so we're down probably about 18 minutes now, which we will, you know, kind of carry the show until we get to that point where we will shut it out. But we had another topic that came up in regards to Colin Kaepernick and Nike, the new Nike commercial, Just Do It. And we want to know how this commercial is going to impact society. And we want you to share your thoughts on it. Each one of y'all is joining me on Instagram, Facebook, or Blog Talk. And share your thoughts on Blog Talk Radio. Tell us what your thoughts are in regards to Colin Kaepernick, Just Do It commercial. You know, there are some things that came out with 150,000 individuals, or maybe a pair of sneakers was burned. And, you know, when Nike is all about funding. Nike understands money to be made here. They're turning an issue that could be a bad issue, which is a challenge for the NFL, into an issue that makes money for them. It's all about the bottom line is important. Now, you're dealing with two situations when you're talking about Colin Kaepernick. When you're dealing with the 32 owners, billionaires, if it hurts their bottom line, they're not going to touch it. So that's one of the things. Right or wrong, indifferent, that's where it's all at. Nike stepped out and said, because it's a world brand, it ain't just, it's just not the United States, it's the world. And they said, we're gonna do the right thing. We're going to keep this sponsor and the person that was representing Nike as a NFL quarterback, and they came up with this commercial on the first Thursday, the first game of the NFL season, the kickoff, and it's Just Do It. What do you think? Tell me your thoughts on it. And I just believe is impactful, the things that, you know, it's been twisted, and we can just talk about it forever and ever in regards to how this, the kneeling, and in some cases going to the Black Power side, and all those things created with the NFL, and it was created through that vehicle, the NFL, you know, how what impact it has on society. Truly, truly, we just want to look at it and see it. We want to know what you thought about that commercial. That's basically what we're going to summarize, talk about that commercial. How is it going to impact society? What should we do as a culture? On our Monday night show, we talk about that. You know, saving one block at a time. If we're not given the opportunity of injustice, with injustice being imposed on our cultural, the killing of black youth, killing of black men, black women by the law enforcement, we have to make a stand. And it's not always out there marching and protesting. Sometimes it's take a stand and changing our community one block at a time till we can be in a situation where we can make sure our voice is heard. The voice is being heard at the NFL level. Colin Kaepernick made sure the voice was heard. Even though the president tried to hijack this issue and talk about all the things that make America great again, you know, and we got to know exactly what he's referring to. However, this is something to talk about. We want you to share your thoughts on it, 347-857-4192. You know, I tell you, it's always good to be able to come here and share our thoughts in regards to the hottest topics of the week. Our biggest topic is about the red shirt rule. I had several calls from individuals on yesterday and even on Wednesday night, as well as today, talk. Are you going to talk about the red shirt rule? Because it's the hottest topic in college football right now. So, you know, we talked about it. If you have any thoughts about it, please call in or just DM me, as well as comment on Instagram, and just we'll go from there. You know, I have to talk about our show that's going on associated with an L.D. Smith production. We started off a year ago, August the 29th. We were produced out of South Florida down there when I was in South Florida. And with a producer down there, and we moved to be able to get our own show on August the 29th. We had our one-year anniversary on August 29th, Talking Sports Plus. And then we have evolved to having a Talking Real to You show that focuses on just plain old life issues, all the social, political, education, financial, economic issues. We had an outstanding show on Monday. We had Dr. Bob Nelson Little to come on and talk and share his thoughts about entrepreneurship and relationships and growth. Wednesday night, and this is a Monday night show, is every other Monday night. So we won't have a show this Monday night coming up, but in 2 weeks we will. Every Wednesday night, now. Every Wednesday night, make sure this is clear. I want you to join us on Blog Talk Radio. You can join me at 7 o'clock when we have a preview show, and we'll be on Facebook as well as Instagram and Blog Talk Radio and Anchor Podcast. And we talk about what's coming up at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time on Wednesday night, which is Talking Sports Plus preview show. And then at 8 o'clock, we come in here with my four co-hosts and sometimes our guests, special guest expert, and I like to make mention about our co-hosts because they're part of this team, and I couldn't do it without them. So glad to have them to be a part of them. The co-host for Talking Sports Plus on Wednesday night is Coach Tony Stallworth. He's a recent retiree, over 30-something years in education as an educator and administrative level and all levels, coach and all that, as well as our lady of the hour, which is our millennial, and that's Coach Lauren D. Smith. Lauren has been off the show for the last 2 or 3 weeks because she had reconstructive knee surgery. She's a basketball player. She liked playing basketball, kind of tore up that ligament between that kneecap and that muscle, and they had to replace it with a cadaver ligament. So the knee is kind of began to get back. I go with her every day. Lauren is my daughter. She make up our host and co-host show. I'm the host of the Monday night show. She's the co-host, the only father and daughter of Blog Talk Radio show in the country. on Monday nights, every other Monday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. But we do have a preview show, which I come on at 7 o'clock. So she was not able to be on the show because of meds and trying to get that, go through rehab 3 times a week. So she's going, she promised me, she talked with me today and said, Dad, I'll be on there. She said, Dad, I'll be on there next Wednesday. So we look forward to having her back here next Wednesday. And then from North Alabama, we have that young man that has that slogan and that saying, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun, because he went some years struggling to, team was just beating to sleep sometimes. But he went off and he got his things together and he worked hard and got his boys and girls ready. And he had won both of the last city championships on the junior high level for the girls and also won the boys. Last year he won the football city championship and the basketball championship. So his slogan is, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. And that's Coach Tremaine Edwards out of Huntsville, Alabama. And then we have our final person that play a major role with our show. He helps out a whole lot because this is his business, entertainment. He's known as the Don King of entertainment, none other than Coach of the Airways. He's out of South Alabama, and he's on several radio stations. He's a radio personality, and that's what we call him, Coach of the Airways, Coach Darrell E. Train Elliott. And he's very important. So those four individuals support this show to its max. And I appreciate having each and every one of them on the show on Wednesday night. Now, let's go back to Monday night, Talking Real to You, another show that's produced by L.D. Smith Production. And it's focused on just plain old life issues. As I stated, the co-host is my daughter. We don't have a father and daughter, Blog Talk Radio team in the country. So you can join us. It's special. That is special. And we'll be talking about all kinds of issues, life issues. Also, my experts is we have out of Georgia, and we have Dr. Olivia E. Smith. She's one of our experts. And also out of South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina, we have Ms. Scarlett H. Black. Be joining us on Monday night. We have several things going on. We're excited about having an opportunity to just simply come before you and share this way to get your thoughts out, the way to get our thoughts out, our expertise with you, because it's just so important that we have this kind of opportunity. So, you know, we come with you, come to you on Monday night, the other week, Wednesday night, every Wednesday night. We come at 7 o'clock, have a preview show, then 8 o'clock we come. Both on, all on Blog Talk Radio. At the 7 o'clock hour, we have Instagram Live as well as Facebook Live and Blog Talk Radio. Then we go with our show at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time on Monday night as well as Wednesday night. Then on Friday, it's 4 o'clock Central Standard Time. We get an opportunity to come to you and talk about exactly what is going on in the world of sports. And I host this myself, and I'm excited about having this opportunity. Now, we will travel to your neck of the woods, wherever you want us to come and do a broadcast show before your game, whether it's high school, middle school, whatever it may be, call us and we'll make a point to be there. We'll make a point to call you.
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
Is it
over? Don't sweat the challenge. Your battle's already won. Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the best. As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner. You're a winner.
Yeah. You ain't seen your best day yet.
You ain't seen your best day yet.
You ain't seen your best day yet.
I don't care what people told you, you ain't seen no
best. You ain't seen your best day.
My.
brother, my brother, my brother, my brother. What's in the world? This word in your heart.
You ain't seen your
mistake. No, it's not too late for you to start. I want to encourage you. From negative words, get away from negative people. Can God speak to you? The best. Do you hear me? Oh, you're gonna run and not be weary. You're gonna walk and not faint. The best is on the way. I see you eagle, I see you flying high. You ain't seen nothing. I know you may think that you have, but God told me to tell you, you gotta keep on fighting, keep on praying. You ain't seen nothing yet. No.
Thank you.